Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, an unusual love story as seen through the eyes of a middle-aged bachelor, starring Herb Butterfield, Vic Perrin, and Barbara Eiler as Julia.
It was raining the day I met Julia. The city appeared to be wearing gray flannel like the young men of Madison Avenue. I'd taken a cab from my bachelor apartment on Beekman up to the 46th Street Theater. Richard Cracker had put a new play into rehearsal, and I'd promised to drop in and give my blessing. He was sitting halfway back in the house, slumped deep in melancholy. I sat down, hoping the gloom was not contagious, refused once again to invest in the play, accepted his invitation for dinner later in the week, and left. I was hurrying down the alley to my cab when I saw her. She was standing in the rain, alone, looking toward the stage door.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm afraid I'm not going to make it.
I beg your pardon?
I think I'm going to faint.
Oh, good heavens, don't do that.
Well, if I could only rest a minute.
Of course, just lean on me.
Where are you taking me?
To my cab. It's closer than the stage door.
I don't want to be any trouble, Mr. Cracker.
Oh, you're no trouble. Absolutely not. I beg your pardon.
Yes?
My name is Leeds. Henry Leeds.
Leeds? Oh. Oh, this is funny.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, it's my fault. I thought you were Richard Cracker.
Well, I won't say I'm not flattered. Dick's a good 10 years younger than I am.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'd better go now.
Wait a moment, please. This whole thing about fainting, was that a trick? A means of attracting his attention?
I guess it wasn't very original.
Original enough, you fool me.
Well, I wouldn't have thought of doing it except that I've been trying to see him for weeks.
What seems to be the difficulty?
Oh, his secretary, his manager, the stage doorman. I'm sure he pays them extra to keep the actors away.
You're an actress?
Yes. At least I'm trying to be.
Well, Dick's loss is my gain. I'll make a bargain with you, Miss...
Warren. Everybody calls me Julia.
Julia. I'll personally introduce you to the great Cracker if you lunch with me.
Oh, I couldn't.
Why not?
Well, what would you think of me?
Oh, my dear, I'm old enough to be your father. Driver, the plaza... No, 21, please. And so, for the first time in several years, I was riding in a cab with a beautiful woman. A beautiful young woman, apparently still naive, not yet spoiled by our city brand of civilization. While we talked, I could feel the years dropping away. I wasn't 54, I was 35. Believe me, my doctor could never have prescribed a tonic like Julia.
Oh, she didn't.
Oh, but she did. And with the slip of a garter in front of a full house, she became a great star.
Oh, what a wonderful story about her. Mr. Leeds, how do you know so much about theater people?
Up until 3 years ago, I owned a theatrical supply house.
Well, what happened?
I sold it for a life of leisure.
Oh, well, you're still important.
Now, what gave you that impression?
Well, the head waiter. The way he acted when we came in. So many men have come over to say hello.
They just wanted a closer look at you, my dear. If I was alone, they'd ignore me.
Oh, you're nice, Mr. Leeds.
Henry, Julia.
You're nice, Henry. And this sure beats eating at the drugstore.
How long have you been in New York?
Oh, about 3 months.
From where?
Massillon. It's in Ohio.
What'd you do out there? Go to school?
Oh, no. I've been out of school for 4 years. I worked as a typist in the Milford Tool and Dye Company.
And you came here determined to become an actress?
Uh-huh. But I'm about ready to give up.
Have you had any experience?
Well, only last summer. I won a contest. I was gladiola queen for 1 week.
Julia.
Yes?
How old are you?
22.
Are you engaged or anything like that?
Goodness, no. Do I look like it?
Not really. I'm just curious.
Are you trying to find out something, Mr. Leeds?
Only, what makes you so sure you have the ability to become an actress? Have you ever studied?
No.
Were you in the school play?
No, but I've read about all the big stars. Anita Ekberg, Kim Novak, Marilyn Monroe. I'm sure I can act as good as they can.
Well, you have one big thing in your favor. You're very beautiful.
The chromosomes were very kind to me, weren't they?
Chromosomes?
I took biology in high school. It was my favorite subject. Oh.
What is it?
Oh, that good-looking man with the dark glasses. The one the waiter's leading to a table. Is he blind?
Yes. Peter. Peter Morgan.
Who is it?
Henry Leeds.
Oh, Henry, how are you?
Fine. Peter, this is Miss Julia Warren from Massillon, Ohio.
Hello, Julia.
How do you do, Mr. Morgan?
We'd ask you to join us, Peter, but we're almost finished.
Thank you, Henry, but I'm meeting one of my students. Call me, will you?
Yes, I shall.
Goodbye, Miss Warren. Nice meeting you.
Oh, nice meeting you, Mr. Morgan. Well, he's positively the best-looking man I've ever seen.
Peter was well on his way to becoming one of the top directors in this town when he had an accident.
What does he do now?
Coaches a few people, writes a bit. Well, you have dessert coming. What'll it be? French pastry, cheesecake, brandy?
Oh, nothing, thanks. I'm stuffed.
You don't feel like fainting?
More like sleeping. If I was a bear, I'd hibernate.
By the way, you haven't given me your address.
Oh, 1643 East 16th Street. Now, let's go see Mr. Cracker.
We found Dick where I'd left him, watching the actors moving about uncertainly on the bare stage. He came out of his fog long enough to ask Julia to stay for the rehearsal. I arranged to see her the next afternoon and left. We had lunch together the next day and again the day after that. By the end of the week, I couldn't concentrate on anything but Julia. And then I didn't hear from her for 3 days. So I took the trip down to 16th Street. The address she'd given me was that of an old brownstone walk-up.
Oh.
Good morning, Julia. May I come in?
Oh, well, wait. Wait just a minute. Shirley and Jean left this place in such a mess. They're working at Klein's. Well, all right. I guess it's decent now. I was going to call you before I left.
Left? Where are you going?
Why, back home. Here, you sit here.
You mean you're giving up?
Yes. Didn't Mr. Cracker tell you?
No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, he doesn't think I have any talent.
Julia, suppose someone believed in you and was willing to invest money to pay for your dramatic lessons. Would you stay in New York?
Henry?
Don't misunderstand my motive, Julia. It's nothing like that.
Well, what is it like?
Well, it's... Did Dick ever tell you about me?
Well, only that you've lived alone since your wife died.
Our home was in Connecticut. It's a large, rambling frame house. Empty now, of course. And if someone doesn't move in soon to take care of it, I'm afraid it's going to fall like the House of Usher.
Well, couldn't you hire someone to look after it for you?
Julia, a man my age alone is like an empty house. Without someone caring for him, without someone to care for, he gradually deteriorates.
Is that why you want to look after me?
There might be one or two other reasons, but in a word, yes.
I'm afraid I couldn't, Henry.
But why not?
Well, what will people think?
People will think whatever they want to think, regardless of what you do.
I don't know what to say. I guess that's the difference between New York and Massillon. At home, what other people think about you is the most important thing. Here, nobody seems to care.
They care, but not in public.
Henry, if I let you, could I study dramatics with anyone I please?
Any school or anyone.
All right. I've made up my mind.
Yes?
I'll do it if I can study with the man we met at 21. Your blind friend, Peter Morgan.
I called Peter that same afternoon. He seemed reluctant to take on such a novice as Julia, but after telling him how much it would mean to me personally, he agreed to let her start the following Monday.
Oh, this is a lovely studio, Peter.
I finished decorating it just before my accident. It suits as a workshop.
Oh, I should say. All these nice paintings and things.
The small one over the desk is a Picasso from his blue period. And of course, you recognize the Lautrec lithograph.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Do you mind if I look around?
Not at all.
Oh, record collection? Hi-fi set?
I hope your taste runs toward the classics.
Oh, yes, I like classical music, especially Mantovani. Did you read all these books before your accident?
Yes, my reading nowadays is limited to the Braille editions. I keep these to lend to my students.
Oh. Well, what do we do first?
Oh, fill in this card, if you will. It's for my accountant. You'll find pen and ink on the desk. Care for a drink?
Oh, do you think we should? I mean, it's early, isn't it?
Always start the day with a drink if you want to avoid disappointments. Scotch, all right?
I suppose so.
You're very beautiful, aren't you?
36, 24, 37.
I beg your pardon?
And my measurements. 36, 24, 37. 5 feet, 4 and a half, 110 pounds, blonde, blue eyes, and I've never used any rinse, ever.
Marvelous. You know, you've given me the stuff to work with. The rest is up to me.
What?
Your raw material, the most exciting kind of student a teacher can have.
I don't understand.
You will. I'm going to give you a list of books to read, plays to see. We'll work on diction, poise, all the things a woman, an actress, should know. From now on, you're my Pygmalion, Julia. In 3 months, I promise you'll be a different woman.
Return to romance in just a moment. It takes more than equipment to run a city hospital. Not even an x-ray machine can read the inner thoughts of a man or register his feelings. Only another human being, one sensitive to pain and willing to understand the fears and hungers that tyrannize the soul in times of crisis, can see that far. Fortunately, City Hospital's medical director, Dr. Barton Crane, is an understanding man. His warmth and wisdom come into play each Saturday at City Hospital. And now for the second act of Romance.
Peter Morgan was a good teacher, according to Julia, and judging from the number of hours she spent with him, Julia was an equally good student. She seldom discussed her classes with me, but I did know that she seemed to be busy most every evening that first week, doing what she called her homework.
Alexander, if you love me, you will forsake all others. Plight your troth with mine, and together we will leave for the new world.
If I love you, what other proof must I lay before you?
Gentleness and compassion, the kindred acts of a lover, a word spoken soft as the morning breeze. A touch, a kiss, a sigh.
A kiss, then, it be. Very good, Julia.
Really?
Yes. It's quite natural. Well, I'm for a drink. Join me?
On the rocks. Peter?
Yes?
The way you kissed me. Do all people in the theater put so much feeling into a kiss when they're playing a part?
Julia, people in the theater learn to feel. That's important. Feel life, Julia. Absorb it. Don't be afraid of your emotions. Here's your drink.
Thanks.
How's Henry?
Oh, fine. I haven't seen much of him lately.
Really? I thought you'd moved into the new apartment. He mentioned
he's
something.
He's paying the rent, if that's what you mean. It begins and ends there.
I see.
Oh, don't misunderstand. I like Henry. Like him very much. But my career comes first.
I'm sure it does.
I'm going to be an actress. I'm sure of that now. And you're going to help me.
You've changed, Julia, these past months. Well, who knows? Maybe you'll make it yet.
I know I will. Shall we do that scene again?
Eager? Good. good. All right. We'll take it from the top. Do the full scene and finish with the kiss.
Naturally, I knew none of this at the time. But I did know that Julia was changing. She was blossoming, blooming, becoming less naive, and acquiring a crust of sophistication. I wasn't sure whether I liked this new Julia or not, but I was grateful for the times we had had in the past. I was afraid to jeopardize the times to come, so I didn't question and I didn't criticize. And she continued studying with Peter. Then, one morning in the early summer, we were having breakfast at the tavern on the green. Beautiful day, isn't it? Clear, blue sky.
Uh-huh.
Be a nice day to drive up to Connecticut. Julia, why don't we?
Oh, I couldn't. Henry, Peter asked me to give you this.
What is it?
Your last check.
Well, why is he sending it back? You're still studying with him, aren't you?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with a check. What is it, Julia?
He doesn't want me to take any more money from you, Henry.
What? Is he giving you a scholarship?
He says he's in love with me.
Oh.
Now, please, don't look so sad. We can still be friends. We're all sophisticated adults.
Sophisticated? Don't call me that.
Henry, please.
Do you know the meaning of the word? Sophisticated, according to Webster, means deprived of original simplicity, made artificial. And that's what Peter Morgan has done to you. How do you feel about him?
I don't know.
Whatever you decide, you don't owe me a thing. Remember that. I spent the summer at the house in Connecticut. I didn't hear from Julia. Not a word. The 1st of September, I closed the house and returned to the city. One evening, a few days later, I was having dinner with Richard Cracker when I received a phone call from Peter Morgan. He wished to see me as soon as possible. I went to his apartment later that night. It was obvious that he had been drinking.
Wait till I turn this thing off, Henry. There. That better?
Yes, thanks.
Henry, have a drink. You gotta have a drink. This is a celebration.
Do you mind if I turn on the lights?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Henry, I want you to join me in a toast. To a wonderful girl, to Julia, with love. Okay? You'll drink to that?
Yes.
Been away, haven't you, Henry? You don't know what's happened.
What has happened?
Julia. She has happened. She's quite a girl. You know that? And you know I owe you something, Henry, for introducing us. I'll never forget you for that. Beautiful woman, Julia. You can tell it in her voice. You can tell it in the sound of her movements.
What are you trying to say, Peter?
Listen. Before my accident, you remember me before that, don't you? I was pretty good, wasn't I? Promising young director, hit on Broadway, future, and girls. My goodness, Henry, how they wanted to meet me. It was very flattering.
I'm sure it was. Now, will you tell me about Julia?
Fresh, innocent, naive. What a find. Can you imagine what it's been like sealed up in darkness these past months? No more accolades, no more eager young faces looking up to me as... Well, all right, so that was over and done with. Until you brought me Julia.
Peter, what have you done?
Me? What have I done to her? Nothing. She's no more actress and no more woman than the day she came here. Only now she's wise and sophisticated and sure of herself. Now she's Julia, hasn't she told you?
Our last meeting, she seemed...
I taught her, Henry. I gave her a new approach to the world. Oh, and how she responded. I called her my Pygmalion, and indeed she was. Perfectly. She learned all the hardness, all the veneer. She's a new woman now. You ought to meet her sometime. You ought to meet her.
I'm sorry, Peter.
Sorry? Sorry for what? You think I loved her? I didn't. But I changed her. And for that, I'm ashamed. Have a drink, Henry. Come on, have a drink.
Hello, Julia.
Henry, what on earth? Wait a minute. This place is in such a mess. Let me pick up a few of the things. I'm sorry I didn't write to you like I promised, but I've been so busy and everything that I... Well, all right, you can come in now.
Are you alone here?
Yes, Shirley and Jean are still working at Klein's.
I see you're packing again.
I was going to call you, Henry.
Going back to Ohio?
Oh, not this time, no. No, I'm moving to a new apartment. I felt like I needed a change, a new outlook, a new approach, you know.
But I thought you...
My uncle died. Left me a little money, not much, but enough to stick it out for another 4 months. Maybe 5 or 6 if I watch my budget.
I see. Well, I just came by to see how you were. I talked to Peter Morgan last night.
Dear Peter, wonderful guy and a fine teacher, really. Oh, he's taught me a lot, only... Well, I have to keep advancing, you know, move on to higher things. I talked to one of the ingenues at the Plymouth Theater the other night, and she told me about the most wonderful school near Washington Square, and I can't wait to get started. I'm sure I'll get my break once...
Yes, I understand. Well, I see you're busy, Julia, so I won't bother you. Perhaps we'll get together sometime later.
Oh, let's do, Henry. Let's have lunch next week. Well, now, maybe not next week, since I'll just be starting in school, but maybe the week after. I'd really love to once I get started.
Yes. Well, Julia, best of luck.
Oh, thank you, Henry. You've been such a dear. Oh, and don't forget to call me for lunch. I'm really looking forward to it.
I called Julia the following week, but she was busy, enrolling in the drama school, beginning classes. And the week after that, she was trying out for a stock company and... Well, she did get a part in a small production off Broadway. I went to see it. She played the maid. No lines, just a walk-on carrying a tray full of martinis. But from the smile on Julia's face, you could see... She was having the time of her life.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. Julia was written by Charles B. Smith. Featured in the cast were Herb Butterfield, Vic Perrin, and Barbara Eiler. Music is supervised by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. For those early day denizens of Dodge City, darts just weren't fast enough. At least that would seem to be the case from all the bullets that fly on Gunsmoke today, when Marshal Matt Dillon feels called upon to pinch hit for Cupid. As Cupid's stand-in, Marshal Dillon lights the fuse on a keg of lavender and old gunpowder, and love ricochets between two warring families like a nervous boomerang. For bang-up entertainment, stay tuned for this next action-packed, ever-so-lightly sentimental episode of Gunsmoke. It follows in just a moment over most of these same stations.